Let's read some Bible together. I'm going to read two passages today. The first one is from Psalm 22. I'm not going to read the whole psalm, I'm going to read some of the psalm. And then we're going to have another passage from Ephesians chapter 2. So Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everybody, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast on you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me, the strong bulls of Bashan encircle me, roaring lions that tear their prey open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax, it has melted within me. My mouth is dried up like potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs surround me, a pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garments. But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lions. Save me from the horns of wild oxen. And Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Well, since we had our youth band this morning, you might be thinking that I might be speaking to some youth this morning. And then I can imagine the things that are going around in their heads right now. It's you're going to hear an adult say, well, back when I was your age. And then all the young people who are way too polite are then going to be thinking in their heads, okay, boomer. But I just want to say, if a parent, if you're ever tempted to trundle out the line, back when I was your age, don't do it. Because there was never a time when you were their age. Right? When you were their actual calendar age, there probably wasn't an internet, there definitely wasn't social media. So the circumstances in which you were 10 or 15 or 18 or whatever were substantially different to what they are for teenagers today. And so it's probably better for us to recognise that we will never their it was never a time when we were back when we were their age. It was when we were 15, but the world was different then. But the same applies the other way to you young people. You know, when I get to be your age, or when I grow up, when I get to be your age, well, you will never get to be my age, right? Because in my age, I was in my 50s before TikTok happened, right? But when you get to 50, who knows what it'll be, but TikTok probably won't be a thing anymore. And so it works both ways, right? We can't just sort of project ourselves onto people of different ages what we think or what we experienced. And so you might then think, well, then there's no communicating between us, right? It's just going, you know, back when I was your age, okay, boomer, and it just sort of descends into static and all that sort of stuff. But there are some deeper common human things that connect us. And if we have ears to really listen, we can learn from each other. But one of the things I'd like to know is, what's your favourite quiz show? Do you watch any quiz show? I like Hard Quiz. Anyone watch Hard Quiz? Anyone like Hard Quiz? Yeah. What about, who likes Millionaire Hot Seat?
Oh, I do.
Oh, yeah. Who likes The Chaser? And who likes the English version of The Chaser? What about Pointless? We're getting into the nerdy ones now. All right. So they're games that are built around, they're TV shows that are built around questions, right? And then you've got those sort of fake TV game shows where they don't have real contestants, they just have a panel of comedians, but they ask them questions, right? And then they have the chat shows, and they're built around questions. And then you start thinking, well, actually, it's not just quiz shows and chat shows. It's actually school. Like, school's built around questions, you know. What's 1 + 1? Or how do you do the integral differential calculus thing? Or, what, you know, who was the president of Ethiopia 50 years ago? Or school is built around questions. But then when you leave school and you go to university, well, university is built around questions too. And then when you go to workplaces, you know, your boss says, can you do this for me? He frames it as a question, but it's really a command. But there's other questions like, you know, how am I going to treat my hair today? Now, that's obviously a hypothetical question for me. But it's like, what clothes am I going to wear today? Will my friends still be my friends today? What'll happen in government? What'll happen in the world? What'll happen in the environment? Life is built around questions, isn't it? And there's all of the sort of surface questions, the quiz show type questions. But then there's the sort of deeper questions, right? That maybe you never really voice out loud. Like, how is my anxiety going to be today? Will I be able to cope with the level of stress that I'm going to experience? Will my parents ever understand technology? How do I navigate my friends who are wanting to use different pronouns for when I refer to them? How do I navigate that space? What sort of jobs will even exist for me when I've finished school? Will the environment be stuffed? Or for older people? When I leave my job, what will give me meaning in life? How will I cope with the slow loss of capacity? Needing stronger glasses, better hearing aids, and if you do see Susie. Or less strength, I can't do the gardening anymore. For some of us, that would be, I never do the gardening anyway, but maybe some of you love to do the gardening and then I can't do it anymore. Or my knees hurt so I can't bend down. Or I guess I'm not as mobile as I was. I can't drive anymore. You see, there are deep questions that face us all the time. The thing is that between when you're a teenager and when you're an adult, you've had decades of answering questions. with those sort of questions. With a teenager, you're still answering all of them, often for the very first time. What am I going to do with my life? Who am I? Etc., etc., right? And so for you as a young person, those questions can seem really big and maybe sometimes overwhelming. But for adults, it's, well, I've made some decisions and maybe I'm regretting making some of the decisions that I made 10, 15, 20 years ago. Or maybe I realise I actually came up with some wrong answers. Or maybe I was even asking the wrong questions. So questions are things that we deal with all the time, from when you're the youngest, right? We've been running a bit of I've been running a bit of a like competition with our first grandson, Seth, about how many photos people are going to take by the end of February. But the other one might be, you know, when Seth starts learning words, which word will be, like, the first word will probably be mum, and the second word will be dad, the third word will be general relativity. Because we bought them a series of books as like general relativity for babies or physics for babies or whatever. That's the sort of family we are. But at some point, Seth is going to learn the word why. And he's going to be asking why all the time. You see, questions start from our very youngest age and they continue all through our life. And in the psalm today, Psalm 22, it had questions. And it had the sort of deep, sometimes unuttered questions like, my God, why have you forsaken me? And in fact, if you just flick through the first few psalms, Psalm 1 is a sort of psalm of wisdom, but then Psalm 2 goes in verse 1, why do the nations conspire? Why is there conflict between nations, essentially? And Psalm 3, Lord, how many are my foes? Or Psalm 8, verse 4, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Or Psalm 10, verse 1, why, Lord, do you stand far off? Psalm 13, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? You see, these sort of deep questions are not new to you. 3,000 years ago, they were asking similar questions. And they were so important, they got into God's book. Really important. And these questions, even the questions that we read in Psalm 22, the interesting thing about them is that they don't just exist in a vacuum, but they exist in the context of history and knowledge of and experience of God. So Psalm 22, the person was saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? But then in verse 3 and 4 it says, but you actually saved our ancestors. You have done saving work. They had problems and they cried out and you saved them. So I've got this acute question now, but it's in the context of knowing that you have answered that question for other people in the past. But it's still a real... And you can go back and read all Psalm 22 and it's this person wrestling with the reality of their questions in the light of what they have learnt about God. And they actually break through to a point of confidence in God. And this psalm is one that I think Jesus was reciting to himself on the cross. He was wrestling in his moment of greatest anguish. And he used this psalm. Because all of the questions that we have, and there's been some research done with some young people in America, but I think this applies to all of us, that all of the questions we have when we talk about anxiety and stress and the future and jobs and all that sort of things, they really boil down to three big questions. Who am I? Where do I fit? And how can I make a difference? Underlying all of the other questions, if you dig down deep enough, you'll find some combination of those questions. Who am I? Where do I fit? How can I make a difference? And young people in particular are really trying to figure that. Who am I? Am I just the person that everybody expects me to be? You know, when I go to school, I'm going to be the person they expect to be. When I go to home, I'm going to be the person they expect me to be. When I go to church, I'm going to be the person they expect me to be. But maybe it's, well, I'm just not smart enough. I'm not clever enough. I'm not beautiful enough. I'm not tall enough. I'm not short enough. I'm not thin enough. I'm not big enough. I'm not muscly enough. I'm not whatever, insert in the gap. I'm not that enough. Or I might be more than the labels people put on me. Or I'm the person that I'm curating to be. So when you're an adult, when you were a teenager, you never had the problem of curating your brand image. Right? But all young people today are making that decision all the time. What photos am I going to post on Snapchat? What things am I going to like on my Instagram? Because all of those things are building your online persona. And people make deliberate choices about that. And if you've presented yourself as the fun, happy-go-lucky person all the time, then you can find it very hard to actually be real about the things that are actually going on in your life because you want to live into that persona or you feel like you need to. But those deep, big questions apply to adults and to old people just as much to young people. Who am I? Is the question of identity. Where do I fit? Is a question of belonging. And what difference can I make? Is a question of purpose. And in some ways, the second passage we read today speaks into those things. In Ephesians 2, which we read, as for you, you were dead. And it goes on to talk about in your transgressions and sins and all of those sort of things. I don't want to focus on that so much today, but it's this idea of me being dead, of me not being alive enough, or me somehow being under someone else's control, right? That's my identity, and it's an inadequate identity. I feel inadequate in that. All of us also lived among them at one time. We were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. So as we trust in God, the deepest answer to the questions, who am I, is that I have been made alive with God through Jesus. And that's independent of my own capacity, my own lack of being able to do whatever, my own failings, my own strengths, my own desires, my own preferences, whatever else. At the deepest level, at the foundational level, you are a person that's made in the image of God and been renewed in the image of God. No matter what anyone else tells you. You see, that's a really strong and firm foundation on which you can begin to build all the other layers of your identities, right? Because so many other things are so changeable, you know. Person A, they're my best friend this week, but they're no longer that next week. So my identity has shifted in some way. But you and I will always be people that are made in the image of God and have been made alive by the work of Jesus as we trust in him. Who am I? That's the deepest answer to the question. Now, there's lots of other important layers to work through on top of that, but that's the deepest layer. Where do I fit? What about belonging? And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms. Because of the undeserved work of God, not only are you made alive in God, but you now can be confident that you belong with Jesus and with Jesus' people. You might feel like, I don't fit in with that crowd at school, or I don't fit in with that crowd at work, or I really don't fit in with my natural family because they're all crazy. Or at least some of them are. But at the deepest level, the answer can be, I belong with Jesus and with Jesus' people. And that's solid. That's sure. That's something that I can build on. And I love this. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is, a bit before that. Read out the wrong bit. In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. When you come to Jesus in prayer or whatever, is kindness the first word that comes to mind? When you come to Jesus, you will experience kindness. I don't know what other people may have told you or conceptions you have, may have of Jesus, but this scripture here says when you come to Jesus, you experience his kindness. And just go back and read the Gospels, you know. The tax collector who was despised by everybody in his community experienced the kindness of Jesus. The woman at the well who had been married 5 times and gone through all of the pain and trauma of that experienced the kindness of Jesus. The centurion with the sick servant experienced the kindness of Jesus. And you can expect to experience the kindness of Jesus because you belong to Jesus and to Jesus' people. And finally, purpose. Identity, belonging, and purpose. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. There is a quote that I just want to pull up so that I get it right. I cannot answer the question, what ought I do? Unless I first answer the question, of which story am I a part? I can't answer the purpose question until I understand the story question. So think about it in a sports terms, right? You're on a team somewhere, right? What should I do? Well, that depends whether you're playing a game of basketball or a game of football. Now, sometimes it's really confusing because, like, when I was at school, in high school, I was rubbish at soccer, and so I switched to basketball and I got a game because no one else had decided that basketball was a good game to play. But towards the end of my time, from time to time, the grade 12 rugby players would join in playing basketball games. But they played basketball as if it was rugby. And so if we are going to answer the purpose question, we need to understand what story we are living into or what story we are a part of. And we think that the best and the truest and the deepest answer is the story of God. The story of God and God's world. And that's why with Kids Church, every year we go through the cycle of the whole story of the Bible, because we want them exposed to the whole story. And the Bible says, yes, this is a world that God's created. There are things that have gone wrong in it, and God is working to put them right. And he invites you and me to join him in that process. That's the most reliable, the most rewarding, the most fulfilling story that you can live into. It's also the truest story. And so for our young people this year, we want you to explore these deep questions and maybe the other questions that layer on top of them. And we're going to encourage you, and you can talk to your parents or you can talk to me about getting a copy of this book called 3 Big Questions That Shape Your Future. And it's a 60-day devotional thing, so there's like a 3 or 4 pages you can just read in 5 minutes at once, and there's some scripture and there's some stories of other young people your age or similar ages, and there's some questions to reflect on. And we are hoping that we'll be able to create some small group space times where you can unpack those some more, but you can use them in your own life and then also with other people from our youth group. So we encourage you to get that book, 3 Big Questions That Shape Your Future. And there is another book, 3 Big Questions That Changes Everything, I think, for your teenager. And that's like the adult version of this book that helps you understand how young people today see these questions and engage with these questions, and gives you some tips about how to do that. And it's really, really interesting things. Like for me, like I'm always ready to tend to jump in to give an answer to quote unquote bless everybody with my found of wisdom, Well, I just need to, this book advises me, and I just need to, instead of launching into that, I just need to practice saying, tell me more. If they've got a question, tell me more. I want to hear more about it before I race to giving you my probably dodgy advice. So parents, and if you're not a parent, if you're just an adult in our church and you'd like to be able to engage with our young people or people in your extended family more, I encourage you to get that book too. And there's a post in the hub that's gone up in the last 10 minutes with links to where you can buy them online. So we want to engage with these three questions in an intentional way with our young people this year, and we want to be able to get better at engaging them with them in our own lives. And this book, The Three Big Questions for Your Young Person, and the companion book, which is for adults, I encourage you. And young people, you might like to read that adult one too. It's not like there's secret stuff in there that you can't read. But if you're really into it, you can go and it explains how they spoke in depth to 27 young people from across America from different age groups and socioeconomic backgrounds and all those sort of things. Really helpful. But you also might like, as an adult, say, yeah, I would like to, we're trying to make some space to form some small groups for our youth this year, and we need some help with leadership for that. And if you think, yeah, I would like to, you don't have to be like a theological scholar, but you can just read this second book. It'll give you some ways of helping guide the conversation rather than providing the answers. And we'd love you to say, yeah, I'm willing to help out with some of that with our young people, because they're really important questions. Because as we address the big questions, as we address the deep questions, we're actually addressing the point at our pains at their deepest point. And we're addressing the foundational things that will set us up to move forward better in our lives. And although we may be in different circumstances, and we won't truly be able to say, when I was your age, or when I get to your age, we will be able to hear each other and listen to each other and encourage each other, and in so doing, help each other find our identity, our true identity in God, find our place of belonging with God and God's people, and to define our purpose, living into God's story, the God who is remaking and renewing this world and putting it right. Let's pray. Lord, I want to pray for everybody here, but particularly those who have a burning question, Lord, that is so deep or personal that they haven't even ever voiced it to anybody else. God, I pray that they would hear you speak into that question, just like the psalmist did when they wrestled with their deep questions. Lord, I pray that each one of us would, in a fresh way, experience your kindness. Be confident that when we come to you, that is what we will encounter. And God, I pray that you would inspire us with your grand purpose to make everything new again, to restore and renew. And God, that we would join you in that deep and meaningful quest. Amen. Just before we finish our service and then get on to our final song, there's just going to put up the reflection questions. Thanks. Just a few moments, just a pause. What will you remember from our time together this morning? What's God put on? It might be from a song or from a prayer or from communion. What's the thing that's most standing out to you? And what are you going to do in response to that? Today, tomorrow, or the next week. We're going to finish the service because this next song is not really a service song.
No, that's true.
And so God, I'm just going to pray God's blessing on you. And then we'll finish the live stream, and then we'll get into this song that we're all hanging out for. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and delight in you and be gracious to you. May you know that the Lord turns his face towards you and gives you peace. Amen.